Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Okay, guys, let's dive into the story. And this is about gas prices. This just out that gas and oil companies, have responded to the government trying to get them to pump more oil. And their response, basically, no, we're not going to do that. And here's why. Let's get into the article. This from CNN, I believe. Yes, CNN Business. Believe it or not, I thought this article was going to be extremely biased and say how the oil companies are evil and the only reason they're not pumping more gas is just because they want poor people to suffer and, you know, your typical CNN story. But actually, it was pretty objective. So if you guys have been watching my videos, I've said how CNN was actually purchased about maybe 2 or 3 months ago by the group that I think owns Discovery, and they said that they were going to get CNN back to its roots where it was just reporting the news, and maybe they're going that direction. I think the world would be a better place if we had some media outlets in the United States that just objectively reported the facts. Anyway, gas prices are high. Oil CEOs reveal why they're not drilling more. So the U.S. oil industry doesn't appear to be any rush to come to the rescue of Americans struggling with high gas prices. Oil companies' CEOs say Wall Street is to blame. Yeah, okay, we'll get into that here in a moment. 59% of oil executives said investor pressure to maintain capital discipline is the primary reason publicly traded oil producers are restraining growth, according to Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas survey released Wednesday. So listen, I'm not here to stick up for Wall Street and the banksters by any stretch. You guys know I'm not a big fan, but I do want to objectively ask the question, who are these shareholders? And is it fair to just say, well, it's Wall Street, or it's just the CEOs, these executives, and demonize them? No, you can't do that, because when you look at the quote-unquote shareholders, which they are saying is just Wall Street, it's actually going to be a lot of pension funds. It's going to be a lot of large pools of money, and these pensions go to pay teachers, firefighter, policemen, just, you know, everyday kind of working middle class. So it's not really fair to say that, well, Wall Street is to blame. Well, not really. It's more the shareholders. And if you want to dive into who the shareholders are, a lot of those people are just blue collar middle class. They go on to say, for years, the boom to bust oil industry spent lavishly to fund all out production growth. U.S. oil output skyrocketed, keeping prices low, yet sustaining profits proved elusive. Hundreds of oil companies went bankrupt during multiple oil price crashes, leading investors to demand more restraint from energy CEOs. Okay, who are the investors? Again, a lot of them probably pension funds, and they are representing the working middle class Americans. To do it today, oil companies are under enormous pressure from Wall Street. You see, one of the big problems that people, or one of the big mistakes people make, is when they look at an oil company, they just look, I mean, even Google, and I'm hard on Google, so let's use them as an example. They tend to look at Google as though it's a private company, or it's just like, they look at it as though it's a small business that's owned by one person, and they have like three employees. And so like 100% of the profits go to that one person that owns the business. And they don't realize that a publicly traded company, sure, it can be a quote unquote oil company or quote unquote Google, but who owns the company? It's not really the CEO. It's the people who own shares. And again, a lot of times those people can be just everyday middle-class citizens. All right, moving back to the article. Today, oil companies are under enormous pressure from Wall Street, from their shareholders to return cash through dividends, buybacks, instead of investing in badly needed supply. Okay, well, who needs the supply? It's Americans. that are paying higher prices at the gas pump. Okay, well, that's in large part a lot of your investors. So we've got to realize this. And why am I harping on this so much? Because whenever we're analyzing a situation like this, we have to realize there are trade-offs. There's a cost-benefit analysis. And in order to do that cost-benefit analysis accurately, we have to understand who the players are. And to sit there and just think that the only player on one side is just the people buying gas, and then on the other side is just this evil oil company, that's not exactly fair, because the people buying gas can be on both sides of the equation. Discipline continues to dominate the industry, an executive from oil field service firm told the Dallas Fed in the survey. Shareholders and lenders continue to demand a return on capital, and until it becomes unavoidably obvious that higher energy prices will sustain, there will be no exploration spending. So you guys that watch my videos consistently, you know I've been talking a lot about the yield curve flattening, and in some cases it's been inverting based on certain maturities. And listen, these oil executives, they're not stupid. I mean, they're looking at the same yield curve I'm looking at. they're saying, wait a minute here. The 2 year is 10, 15, 20 basis points away from the 10 year. Do I really want to start pumping a lot of oil right now when it's going to take me a year or two to stop if I increase supply right now or increase production right now? Absolutely not, because I could be increasing supply. And again, it's not like a light switch that they can just turn on and off here, guys. You have to realize that these things take time. So let's say they take all this capital investment and put it into creating more supply because there's a high price right now. Well, that additional supply that they're pumping comes online in 6 months. By that time, according to the yield curve, we could be in a serious recession. And let's not forget that the Fed is raising interest rates. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Which makes a recession in 6 months, maybe a year, 2 years, even a higher probability. And this would be when this additional supply potentially is coming online. So you can see the position that these oil executives are in. And it might not be completely rational for them to pump a lot more oil right now, even though the price of oil per barrel is north of, call it, $110. And here you go. This is going back to the article. They say U.S. output is down even as prices skyrocket. So this is really the kind of the thrust of their argument. Another thing that they say is they talk about regulation. Only 6% blame is the headline here, the subheading. But once you really read into it, a lot of it's not just the regulatory pressures, but it's also the pressure from this ESG movement. They talk about that. And then 15% of the executives said they're not creating more supply because of other factors, including personnel shortages, i.e. labor shortages, that have been caused by the government's response to the cerveza sickness. So that would be another government problem or government-induced problem. And supply chain issues, which would be another government-induced problem. And then lastly, it's the vilification of the oil industry. They said still multiple executives surveyed expressed significant concern about regulations and rhetoric on the industry coming from the federal government, as well as individuals in states such as Colorado. The message from White House, Capitol Hill, and Wall Street has been that oil and gas is a dying industry and one that needs to be abandoned. One survey respondent said that executive pointed to serious workforce issues that are being driven in part by vilification of the oil and gas industry. So why would anyone want to go into this business if the future is electricity, and every single time you see turn on the TV, it's Greta Thunberg talking about polar bears and icebergs and how we're all doomed in 10 years if we continue to use fossil fuels. It wouldn't exactly prompt you to want to go and pull more oil out of the ground right now, when again, you probably know the price is going up. That's probably another reason. So why would you want to pull the oil out of the ground now when if this continues to where there's absolutely no capital investment, you know that the price per barrel is going to be higher. And why wouldn't you want to pull it out, save it, pull it out of the ground at $200 a barrel instead of pulling it out of the ground at $100? That probably goes in as well, or that goes into the decision-making process as well, along with the profit to the shareholders, the regulation, the ESG movement, and then the vilification of the industry in general. So the initial question for the video here is how bad can it get? The answer is a lot worse because, Chris McIntosh, I need to give him props. He's been talking about this for, probably a year and a half at least, that we could be moving into an environment with energy where higher prices don't cure high prices. And because, at almost any price, we're still not getting more reinvestment, which would create that equilibrium between supply and demand needed to bring prices down or at least prevent them from continuing to go up. So, I don't give a lot of predictions, but I think the probability is very high that unfortunately, the gas prices that you are paying right now will be higher in, call it, 2-3 months and not lower. And then we'll have to see what happens with the recession if we get one and if that brings oil prices down because of demand destruction. But we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you in the next video.